listening to the Baby Your Baby podcast with me, Jade Elliott, where we talk all things pregnancy, children, and parenting. Don't forget to subscribe and share with your friends. Baby Your Baby is a KUTV2 news podcast and is sponsored by Intermountain Healthcare, Broadway Media, and the Utah Department of Health. You're listening to the Baby Your Baby podcast with myself, Jade Elliott, joined by Dr. Peter Lindgren with Intermountain Healthcare, a pediatrician with Intermountain. We appreciate you being with us today.
Great to be with you, Jade.
We're talking today about, I'm sure, a parent's favorite topic, tantrums, and what to do if your toddler's behavior becomes a little aggressive. I'm a mom. I've seen it. I don't like it. Toddlers and tantrums, they kind of go hand in hand. But that can also at times turn, as your child gets older, into kind of aggressive behavior, depending on the scenario. Talk to us a little bit about that and what we should be worried with or concerned about, or what is just the norm with kids.
Yeah, well, I think, let's face it, parenting toddlers and preschoolers is not easy. And if the world were ruled by three-year-olds, it would be a very scary place to be. how we sort of teach toddlers and preschoolers how to manage their feelings is really important for how they're going to navigate the world. And it really lays the foundation for their success. The other thing that I think is really interesting is a lot of this revolves around the conflicts that we have with them and developing a relationship with them to be able to resolve some of those conflicts. So, when we look at behaviors, one of the things that we try to figure out is how to modify those things. And when you have negative behaviors like hitting or biting, it's really easy just to say, don't do that, right? And I think that's where most of us kind of go. But we have to sort of model, how to deal with those things. And a lot of times those behaviors come from having certain emotions, and teaching them how to deal with those emotions is really an important piece of, how they're going to express those things. So one might express, frustration by hitting, and we have to kind of demonstrate different ways to do that. So, mm-hmm. We talk about sort of having feelings and being able to label those feelings and show them, and also kind of know that we can let them go. And a lot of this is getting kids to sort of understand how to deal with those frustrations. And I think we have to model that. That's another kind of, parenting aspect that is important.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and you said right off the bat, talking about conflict resolution and how we can help them understand that. There's adults that don't understand conflict resolution,
this is a lifelong process, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And, so that makes it even more important, of course, to start younger, and the understanding and the reasoning, and then you throw the word reason out with a three-year-old or a four-year-old or even a five-year-old sometimes, and how hard they can be just to reason with, to help them understand the process of their emotions and their feelings, and then the conflict resolution. So let's kind of start with feelings, because I think a lot of it does stem from that. We've had with our son, he's 5 and a half now, and he's come home from school and said, so and so hit me, or so and so bit me, or he's gotten in trouble for X, Y, and Z as well. And I always ask, well, why? Why did they do that, or why did you do that? And it usually does come back to a feeling. Oh, I was angry at them, or they made me feel this way. And that's kind of the basis of where it has to start is, okay, you may have felt this way, but now we have to talk about your reaction.
Right, and I think as soon as you kind of can understand what you're feeling, you have a chance to be able to sort of change the way you react to that feeling. So that is sort of like, you know, the essence of kind of like how we modify those behaviors. So like if you understand that you're feeling angry, you get a different choice about how you can respond. I think the other, another aspect of this is, you know, like to discipline is not to be harsh or to punish. To discipline is to teach. And so one of the key, you know, aspects of this is, you know, teaching how to respond to those feelings in ways, you know, you might be angry, you might want to hit, but that's probably not the best way to deal with it. And, you know, I think one of the things that is also important, and you probably have experienced this, toddlers and preschoolers, they often do things to make us upset. And I think we then model how to deal with those feelings. Like it's actually, you know, we talk about, you know, remaining calm and, you know, being able to sort of be consistent about how we interact. But it's actually useful for, it's to actually see you get upset and see you kind of calm down and regain control and actually work through those emotions. The other thing is that most of us don't do very well at handling things when we're angry. So being able to model, you know, calming down is a really useful thing. And I think it's interesting. I think children sort of innately do this to us to see how we respond. And so how we behave as parents is modeling for them how to deal with those feelings that they have and the emotions that they have.
Oh, absolutely. They're little sponges and copycats, and the things that they hear and do and pick up on. I mean, it's crazy. And I, you know, some of the things that we've tried to do when it comes to, you know, like the feeling side of it is almost kind of like you were saying, you know, lead by example, you know, and give an example. I can tell them and say, you know, well, I was frustrated during this or with this person, but I didn't bite them.
Let's hope not.
Right. I didn't. I didn't bite them when I was mad at them. I did this instead. Maybe try this next time, you know, or maybe, you know, for a child, maybe tell your teacher or, you know, tell whatever. But, you know, lead kind of by that example of, well, you saw when I was frustrated and this is how I reacted to it.
And maybe looking at these sort of negative experiences as opportunities to teach is really important. I think we sometimes dread those things and we expect things to be always calm and lovely. But the reality is that's not the way it's going to be. Like, you know, it's, you're going to have that. I think the other thing, as you probably know as a parent, as most of us find out, the worst behavior comes out for us.
Oh, yeah.
And then our kids generally look pretty good elsewhere. But, you know, they're almost using us as the lab to learn how to deal with those things. And so, you know, taking those things on as opportunities can be a really useful way of developing that emotional agility to work through those complex emotions that we all have and we're all going to continue to have. And the other kind of big sort of push for this is these are the same kinds of things that happen later on. So like you might be dealing with, you know, big emotional things with a 3-year-old. The way we deal with those things is sort of the way we deal with them when they're, you know, older as teenagers, when the stakes are a bit higher. So developing that relationship where you can have conflict and you can work through it, still love each other at the end, is just so critical for how we kind of get through like a lot of the difficult transitions through childhood and adolescence.
Yeah, absolutely. Talk to us a little bit about, you know, some tips or techniques on kind of how to get us to that calm down point. You know, if our child's acting up and, you know, we've kind of gone through the steps of, you know, take some deep breaths,
sure,
or, you know, let's just kind of calm down for a minute. I'm going to explain to you why you shouldn't have done that. What are some ways to kind of tame the aggression?
So one of the ones that is sort of a time-honored thing is the old timeout. And, you know, timeout is often viewed as a punishment. Timeout often is, just place to regain control. And, you know, and it's not something that, you know, you have to like sit a kid in a corner, you know, with his face against the wall for, you know, a certain number of minutes. It's more taking some time to basically kind of like get back, do some deep breathing, and then really rewarding them, you know, when they've actually calmed down. So I had a visit yesterday with a parent, and she said a really interesting thing. She said, you know, don't water the weeds when it comes to bad behavior. Sometimes we really focus on the bad behaviors. And again, you know, really focusing on, you know, reinforcing, you know, it's really nice that you're able to calm down after you got angry is a really wonderful thing. It's also great for us to model that. It's an okay thing as a parent to put yourself in timeout to sort of calm down before you respond to something that, you know, may be upsetting.
Yeah. In our house, we call it reset. We say, hey, why don't you go reset real quick? Or about ourselves. I'm going to go reset real quick. And after you've, you know, reset, come back out and join us or come back out and play or whatever that looks like. And that has really helped the kids because, like you said, timeout sometimes can be used in a negative connotation. And especially if that's been used in a school setting or at a daycare setting, they have this idea of timeout being bad. And we didn't want that when it came to trying to help them with their emotions or, you know, their feelings of whatever they're trying to work through.
Yeah, reframing that as a positive, I think, is a really nice thing to do. And then the other kind of phrase that we use a lot is, you know, the person that holds the praise holds the power. Sometimes, you know, when we're working with kind of negative, you know, behaviors, if you've been focused on, you know, really positive things and, you know, just having like really good interactions, when you remove those interactions, that is sort of the punishment. So it's an important thing to focus on the positives, which oftentimes is easier said than done because we tend to ignore, you know, when things are actually going well. So being conscious of that and reinforcing that is a really great technique.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's some other things just in general as kind of a household or a general setting that you recommend doing to help improve kids' behaviors.
So I do think that sometimes, you know, recognizing that, you know, when things are getting a little bit, you know, out of control, like, you know, sometimes, you know, shifting activities and behaviors can be a really good way. I mean, sometimes kids are getting, you know, more active and you can kind of like go to a, you know, different activity, like reading a book. I think the other thing that, you know, most of us do well with is having some routines and knowing what to expect. And I think children are very appreciative of knowing what's coming up next. And so, you know, communicating those things, you know, through the course of the day can also be a helpful way of helping them know what's happening and be able to kind of better navigate some of their own sort of feelings as they come up.
And consistency. I think consistency is really important. That's something that we've found with our kids when it comes to praise and discipline, just the consistency.
Right. And I think, you know, particularly when you're targeting certain behaviors, like if you want to make something like hitting go away, you do have to have a, you know, consistent approach. And it's important that it's neither too big nor too small. It's also probably good to understand that anytime you target a behavior, it tends to get worse before it gets better. So before you abandon your plan of like how you're dealing with it, you know, just sticking with it and staying with, you know, your intervention is probably a really wise move.
And if we've tried these things, if we've gone through, you know, the motions of what we think should be helping and it's not, and we're still seeing maybe not even so much of the tantrums anymore, but, you know, maybe a little more of an aggressive behavior, we don't see it changing much. At what point should we go past ourselves and do something or you know, what should we do next?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, it's always a good thing to be able to kind of reach out for support. I think, you know, those of us in general pediatrics certainly do a lot of this. And I think it's a really good thing to have, you know, a conversation with your pediatrician, someone that like knows your child and knows your family. You know, we often then, you know, will refer to other mental health professionals for that. And I think it's important to just look at, you know, the holistic kind of view of what's happening for a child. You know, sometimes there are, you know, simple things like, you know, sleep that may be a problem. And then there can be bigger things. You know, there are, you know, certainly traumas that can go on. And some of those traumas are not, you know, like, you know, bad things. I mean, bringing a new sibling home from the hospital can be hard. You know, moving can be hard. You know, the start and end of school years can be difficult. So, you know, taking a look at, you know, what's happening, and certainly this past year has not been easy for many of us in terms of the pandemic. And so, you know, we're all products of the systems that we're in, and looking at that for children is, you know, an important piece. But have those conversations with your primary care doctor, because they're likely to be very, very helpful in navigating those issues.
Dr. Lindgren, thank you so much for that information. We so appreciate your time today and you joining us for our podcast.
Thanks, Jake.
And that concludes this episode of the Baby Your Baby podcast, talking about our toddlers and their tantrums and how we can help with their aggressive behavior.
Thanks for joining me, Jade Elliott, and our guest for this week's Baby Your Baby podcast. If you have a topic that you'd like our Baby Your Baby experts to discuss, leave us a comment and don't forget to subscribe. Baby Your Baby is a KUTV2 news podcast and is sponsored by Intermountain Healthcare, Broadway Media, and the Utah Department of Health.